All right, good afternoon, or I guess it's morning time still. It's 9:39 a.m. Friday, Green Baptist Church. David, Joey, and myself. And David, you found an article you want us to discuss. Where's it coming from?
AmericaPreachers.com. Obviously, the first time I've ever been to this website. A Facebook friend had posted this up. He said he knows this pastor. It's in North Carolina. I had a lot of trouble finding this church. I don't know if it doesn't have a website or if it's just that small. But one article I read said it was in Winston-Salem, so maybe that is where it's located. But I thought this was an interesting story, and I thought there was a few church, maybe how we run the church ideas we could discuss based on this article.
North Carolina, Pastor Rodney Willis, is that right?
Yep.
Wills.
Willis. Willis, yep.
Willis.
Her, it says Wills, I guess. Yeah.
Wills. It's fine print.
Yes,
it's fine
small.
Print, okay? And I have my glasses on. I was just about to reach 4 years at Mount Salem Baptist Church. He is the youngest pastor to be installed at 26 years old and is now the shortest-term pastor in Mount Salem's 109-year history. On Saturday, Mount Salem voted him out for attending a local Rick Rocks concert with a vote of 11-2-3. The 14 deacons met at 11 p.m. Saturday night to discuss and come to a conclusion that they did not need his services anymore. That's interesting.
Yeah.
First of all, the deacons are voting the men out.
Yep.
That's something worthy of talking about.
Yep.
11 o'clock at night, that's also interesting. I don't think that I've ever been to a deacon's meeting that lasted that long. I bet you somebody in the listening audience has. So what do you think, David? I mean, I didn't even know who Rick Ross was. I had to look up the guy.
Yeah.
That's just how ignorant I am, all right?
Yeah.
And I found him on Rolling Stones.
Okay.
And he made a cover of Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Do you know who Rick Ross is?
Not until David brought him up the other day and we were talking about this.
Right. Okay. Rick Ross is a rapper.
He is.
Is that right?
Yep.
And we would not say that he's a conservative rapper.
Yeah, I would not say that at all. He's one of the more probably popular rappers on the scene right now. He's a big, huge guy, wears a bunch of gold, talks about a lot of things that we probably wouldn't agree with.
Tattooed up beyond measure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
And he's 300, he's 300 plus, and there's a lot of tattoos.
Right,
yeah.
There's a lot of skin surface.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a picture without a shirt on, and I would prefer to see him with a
yes,
shirt on.
Yes, exactly.
Unfortunately. So what are we to make of this? Why is the pastor at a Rick Ross concert?
I think that's a legitimate question. I think that was one side of the thing that I thought we could discuss is because if you go in the comment sections of these articles, you'll see kind of all ends of the spectrum on the responses here. And one of the ones that I've been seeing a lot is, it just kind of irritates me, is, you know, well, Jesus hung out with sinners.
That's right. That's right.
And
that's right.
I don't think Jesus went down to the local pagan temple and hung out with those guys. You know, I mean, there's a difference between ministering to sinners and going to this place, you know, and to call into question the motivation to go there, I think, is wholly appropriate. I think the deacons have every right to call into question why he's at that concert. You know, the 11 o'clock meeting is a whole different story, but do they have the right to question this? Yeah, I think they absolutely do.
I guess I can't imagine going to a Rick Ross concert in the first place. But let's just say for whatever perspective I chose to go.
Right.
It seems to me that I would tell somebody ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm going to go to this really leftist, chancy, what are you doing there? It seems to me that I would make an announcement ahead of time. I'm going there to evangelize. I'm going there to check out the culture. I want to get a better... Because I'm sure the deacons are wondering, why is our pastor at a Rick Ross concert?
Yeah, and from this very short article, we don't get a ton of detail, but later on in the article it says 9 months ago the deacon board met with him because he went to a Lil Wayne concert, who was another probably frontline guy. You probably heard of him before.
Lil Wayne, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
what's he doing there?
And apparently, from what I can tell, those 9 months ago he goes to that concert and the deacon said, hey, you can't be doing that. You know, we cannot have you seen at these kind of events. You've got to be smarter than that. And 9 months later, he goes to this concert. So, you know, he was not quite discerning enough to understand the admonishment that he got the first time.
I guess I just stopped feeling sorry for the guy.
Yeah.
When you just said that. Because I had finished reading the article. Yeah. I guess I'm done feeling sorry for the guy.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, I mean, yeah. What are you doing at a Lil Wayne concert?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who's known for using words like B and O, and he uses the N-word and the F-bomb, and who would go and subject... Do you see Jesus hanging out listening to that filth?
Yeah, it's such a modern-day American Christianity idea that we can... that we rationalize what we're doing. You know, and it's the same, like I said before, that, well, Jesus hung out with sinners and Jesus wants all these people to be saved. And, well, yeah, all these people need to be saved. But I'm not sure this is the venue to go do that. And you've heard it before. Well, you know, I go to the club so I can witness to people. No, you don't. No, you don't. There's no witnessing going on in the club. You know, and it's kind of ridiculous. And the other argument as well, you know, he's trying to get to know the culture so he can interact with, well, I don't have to be in the middle of the sin to learn about the sin. You know,
especially, I guess, David, with YouTube, you can pull up anything you want and be educated in the privacy of your home. And that's unfortunate that it's that way.
Sure, it is, yeah.
Because I promise you, this guy has his music on his iPhone, iPad, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you go to a concert for someone that you never listened to of the other 9 months?
Right, that's very true. I mean, it's one thing, I think Joey said the other day when we were talking about it, it's one thing to listen to it, okay? And maybe we can criticize you for that. But you're not creating a stumbling block for anybody other than yourself if you're listening to it on your iPod. Once you show up at the concert, aren't you putting your stamp of approval on whatever this guy's saying?
Yeah, I mean, 1 Timothy 3 says it's supposed to be above reproach. The pastor's supposed to be blameless. You can't be blameless, and you can't be trying to lead, especially the young men. And he's a black pastor of a black church, and that culture really needs men to reject this kind of music and this type of gangster attitude. And he's not. He's giving credence to it, like you said. As he's not blameless. He can't instruct those young men how to be better men when that's the kind of music that he listens to. Not only that, but he's paying good money to go and hear the guy rap.
I think Paul also said bad company corrupts good morals. You know, so I mean, we're. I'm just not sure that you can be a minister in this environment, if that is the goal, which I don't believe for a second was the goal.
No, because the objective is that these people at this concert repent.
Right.
Which means you have to command an audience, and that preacher's not there.
No.
In a commanding an audience perspective, he's
right.
One of the number of people there enjoying.
I don't know. And if he were to open his mouth and try to preach the gospel, I'm pretty sure that he would.
I'm sure the security would.
Well, you probably wouldn't be able to hear it anyway over the music that's going on.
I've been to a few concerts, no rap concerts, and I know that they're not. You know, they're not quiet.
It's not a place for even one-on-one conversation, let alone a preaching opportunity.
And the stuff that goes on in these kind of events too. Whether it's a rock concert or a country music concert or a rap concert, you have alcohol, you have drugs being passed around a lot of time. A lot of times women are gang raped and things, but bad things happen, mosh pits happen, people get beat up. So it's just not a wholesome environment at all.
Yeah, the deacon Miles Langley said, "We cannot have our leaders supporting people of this world who are tearing down the kingdom of God."
That's great.
Yeah, how about that? That's a good statement, isn't it? Says, "We know that many saints will have mixed opinions from our actions, but this is not how we do things here at Mount Salem. We cannot have a pastor praising the world 1 minute, then praising the Lord the next, period."
Well, that almost sounds... Doesn't James
That's
talk
James,
about...
James, yeah.
Doesn't that kind of James language right there?
Can't bless and curse out of the same mouth.
Same mouth. And that's exactly what's happening here.
Yep. And they cite one of Rick Ross's lyrics here at the bottom. I guess Rick Ross was a Reebok spokesman, which is kind of ironic considering I don't think he does a lot of cardio. I don't know what Reebok was trying to do there. But he's lost that endorsement and other endorsements because of a rap song that he has advocating the rape of women. The lyric here is, "Put Molly in all her champagne." Molly is a pure form of ecstasy. It's a club drug. So you could use it as a date rape drug. That's what he says. So put that in her champagne. She ain't even know it. I took her home and I enjoyed that. She ain't even know it. So that's the rap lyric of this guy that this pastor is paying money to go see and supporting.
You have to ask yourself, Joey, how could this guy be converted?
If he's enjoying that type of music and that's what he enjoys listening to on a regular basis, you definitely have to question his.
And there's probably a point here for younger people as well, because we hear this from our young people all the time. I just like the beat, and I just like the music. You're not listening to this music and not hearing the lyrics and not having that effect on you. As somebody who grew up as a teenager listening to rap music, I can tell you it has a massive effect on how you speak and how you act and how you view things. And whether you realize it or not, all of a sudden your vocabulary changes because of the music that you listen to.
And I guess, what I find interesting about that, David, is I've seen Christian rapper Lecrae. Is Lecrae his first name or last name?
I think it's his first name.
And I don't know his last name.
Yeah, he doesn't publicize it anyway.
No. I've seen him on, Gospel Coalition roundtable discussions. Yeah. And he's exceptionally articulate.
He is, yeah. Intelligent guy.
Right. You would not know that he was a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
If you just heard him as one of the three or four in the dialogue, you would... So he has this ability. In fact, he maintains this ability to be able to speak rap. Maybe that's a terrible way of saying it.
Yeah.
But you just made reference to young people seem to adopt that language and embrace it all the time.
Right.
To the point where they don't know when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate, But Lecrae does.
Yeah.
Lecrae's mature enough that he's not going to enter into a dialogue with John Piper and C.J. Mahaney and talk this street rap lingo, even from a Christian perspective.
Right.
But our young people are not normally mature enough to do that.
Yeah, and we all do it to a certain extent, maybe not as drastic as what we see with that, but in a performance setting, you are putting on a persona. If you're an actor, if you're a singer, you're a rapper, whatever it is, you are putting on some sort of persona. But that doesn't mean you speak that way all the time. And just for us, in normal circumstances, we may speak to friends differently than we would speak in front of the congregation. Not in the language that we're not going to cuss one place and not the other, but we may be a little bit less formal sitting around watching a football game than we're going to be in the pulpit. So we code switch. We do the same thing, and it's just sometimes the performance overtakes who we really are. And I think that's what we see going on. And the performance becomes a 24-hour day thing, and it takes over everything else, whether it's decency or anything else.
Especially as much as people listen to music today. I was in the static Kinko's yesterday, and a lady was talking to the lady at the cash register, and she had her headphones. It was her headphone on her iPhone. She was listening to music while she was trying to talk to the lady. So people are just, that's all they do now. They listen to music. And if they're not listening to the music, they're watching TV. And so it just easily becomes second nature to you, where you just do it without even realizing it.
But we have Christians. I dare say that we have people on the sermon audio listening audience, David, that listen to secular rap.
Probably.
And I guess I would speak to you and say right now that they're, delete it. I mean, David, where is the justification for having secular rap on your iPod?
Yeah, that's a legitimate question.
Is there any redeeming value coming out of the... we don't have Puritan work ethic. We don't have integrity. Even if you just say non-Christian, let's just make it purely secular...
Mm-hmm.
Even there's no secular values coming out of modern-day rap that are legitimate. Am I explaining that well?
Yeah, in most cases, I think you're exactly right.
There may be a rare one that I'm not knowing about.
Yeah, maybe. I don't listen to it anymore either. But, it's one of those things where I'm not one to totally broad brush everything and say everything secular is evil, because I think there are some values that you can at least get some enlightenment from some secular sources, and there are some things that pretend to be Christian that are garbage. So I don't think we can necessarily just draw the line like that, but something like this isn't really close to the line. We're not talking about something, I'm not sure if that's good or not. When I'm hearing F-bombs, when I'm hearing slurs, when I'm hearing stuff about sex and rape and drugs, I don't really need discernment to discover that that's not something I should be listening to.
If Reebok, a liberal corporation, fires the guy because of that kind of music and his lyrics, then surely it's something that a believer should not have any question about.
Right, but if you're listening to this podcast right now and you have anything from Rick Ross or Lil Wayne or anybody like Rick Ross or Lil Wayne on your iPad, I would just challenge you right now, delete it.
Yeah.
Unpurchase it. Whatever it takes to get... I mean... You don't even want to have anything associated with you that anyone could look at, like they pick up your phone and then his picture's on the album on your phone. You've just legitimized him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you just said, this is okay.
And if they Google it and they look up any of his lyrics, they're automatically going to see what kind of guy he is. And the thing is, if you're listening to that guy, you're going to start to think like him. You're going to objectify women the way that he objectifies women. And that's what's... And it gets worse and worse.
Yeah, the old cliche of garbage in, garbage out. You know, I mean, our mind's a computer, and we kind of suck up everything we listen to. And so, like you said, we got these people just walking around with an earbud in their ear constantly. It's never out. They're driving with it. They're walking around with it. They're in the grocery store with it.
And they're not listening to any Christian music.
No, I mean, there's
to balance it out. It's all secular all the time.
And it's not even subliminal. It's direct assault right into your brain over and over again. And if I can just hear somebody say the F word 800 times, well, it's going to be a lot easier for me to let that slip out. I mean, and like I said, I can tell you from experience, when I was a 14, 15, 16-year-old kid listening to that stuff all the time, back before we had iPods, when we actually had tapes and CDs, you know, when I was listening to that stuff in the car, my language was filthy because that's what I listened to all the time. You know, and so for somebody to say, oh, you know, I just listen to music, it doesn't affect me, I think that's naive and I think it's dangerous.
I guess the other thing I would submit to you, gentlemen, that we need to talk about for just a moment, I think, as a follow-up is... To what degree am I making myself available to be a witness for the cause of Christ and a servant of the Lord when I have something in my ear all the time? I mean, basically what that communicates is don't bother me.
Yeah, I don't have time for you.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we're in line at Food Lion. We're shopping at Walmart. We're in line at the bank. All the number of places where we go at Lowe's this morning, Chick-fil-A, And when I have something in my ear or when I'm looking at my phone, it says what you just said, David, don't bother me. Mm-hmm. But we're missing opportunities to serve people. And we live to serve people.
Yeah.
If that means, do you know where the bleach is? Yeah, the bleach is on aisle 10. You just serve that person. Or do you know what time it is? Or... Any number of things.
Could you help me get that off the shelf?
Yeah, can you help me get... You know what I'm saying?
I get that a few times.
Sure. But David, if you've got this in your ear, it says, leave me alone.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
You know, how does a person go to the cash register and engage the cashier pleasantly, speak into their life, bring joy into their life with a proper greeting?
Mm-hmm.
How are you? It's been a long day. Are you just starting your shift? Something that says, I see you more than just the person that collects my cash.
Mm-hmm.
You're a person made in the image of God. Christ died for you. And at a bare minimum, I want to treat you with the decency. Are y'all following me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, because I'm thinking, I'm getting flying to Atlanta tonight. And my thought is, because I don't like talking to people I don't know, is to put on my headphones and open up my book and get in my own little world. You know, but that's convicting because that person next to me might need Christ. It might be another someone in faith who I can invite to Berean and let them and then be able to hear the gospel if I'll keep the headphones out of my ears for just a little bit.
I mean, we do not see Christ because David, if you look at the comments, right, that's Christ hung out with sinners, right?
Yeah.
We don't see Christ shutting himself away from the world.
Right.
He does go off for periods of prayer to be with the Father in the morning and evening. But he's interacting with people all day long, turning the world upside down.
Yeah.
We're here to be interactive beings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what he said in John 17. You're not of this world, but I'm leaving you in the world. So I've taken you out of the world, but now I'm putting you back in it. You know, you've been converted. You no longer think like the world. You no longer act like the world. But I'm leaving you in the world to finish my mission.
I think you see what we talked about on our podcast yesterday is this these so-called Christians are adopting the view of the world. And they're saying, you know, on his free time, he should be able to do whatever he wants. He has liberty in Christ, and he should be able to do whatever he wants.
Well, so they'd be okay with him going down the strip club, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, that was the other thing I thought we could touch on here is, you know, well, he wasn't at a church function. He wasn't representing the church. He should be able to do whatever he wants to do. Well, we all have morality clauses in our contracts. We have rules and regulations in our contract. And if I go over to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch the football game and Joey's bellied up to the bar drinking a 24-ounce beer, well, we have a problem.
Send me the email.
Yeah, call us.
Joey, you're fired.
Call us.
Yeah, well, because I agree to that.
Yeah, call us legalistic if you want, you know.
Whatever you want.
There are rules. There are things that need to be followed. And you can have different rules at different organizations, but we are very aware of what is expected of us in the public sphere. And even if we're not at a church function, we're still representing the church. And larger than that, we're still representing Christ. So to say, well, he should be able to do whatever he wants on his free time, you're missing something real big there.
I guess, when is he not a pastor?
Yeah. Yeah, this is not a regular job.
Right.
This isn't working down at the warehouse.
That's right. He could get a call that one of his church members has just passed away in the middle of that concert, and he's not going to hear the call.
When is he not a pastor?
Yeah.
I mean, that becomes the question, you know, is there a time when he's not? And the answer is, there isn't.
Right.
There isn't. So you are a representative of Mount Salem Baptist Church at the Rick Ross concert, and these deacons who are older than him and wiser than him, I would dare say, know that rappers like Lil Wayne and Rick Ross are killing their African-American community.
Right.
And yes, I just made a generalization. Yes, I know that I just painted with a broad brush, but I'm willing to do that in that sense, that these men are not teaching even basic secular values like be a hard worker, show up on time, work with integrity.
Well, to treat women right, and the women's lib movement, I mean, that's women deserve to be treated with integrity, they deserve respect, and yet you don't hear any feminist calling these guys out for their music. I mean, Barack Obama, you know, he's buddy-buddy with a lot of these guys.
He invited,
yeah.
I'm not sure I can
Jay-Z
remember which
one.
Yeah, Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm. To the White House.
Yeah.
And just imagine. he's part of a rapping culture that refers to his daughters. The president has beautiful, intelligent, articulate, athletic daughters.
And he takes great care of them. In his book, Audacity of Hope, he says, I am concerned about what they watch. I limit what they watch on television. But, I mean, they're somewhat sheltered compared
right,
to
right. Like he's probably the daddy of daddies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And yet
he brings that garbage to the White House.
Right.
I mean, he would probably knock out a guy who referred to his daughter as a bee or a hoe.
He'd order a drone strike, I think.
That's right. Legal now. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the hypocrisy that we have in our culture, where we talk out of both sides of our mouth without any moral integrity.
Well, but he needs to appeal to that culture because he needed their votes in an election. So he needs to have Jay-Z at the White House because he needs to be seen as, my mom was white and my dad was black, and so I really need to let them know that I am one of them and I'm not one of these light-skinned Uncle
right.
Tom guys who's turning my back on that's better than them. And that might be some sort of generalization, but that seems like, for a guy who's concerned about guns in the inner city, protecting our children, it's odd that he would have guys like Jay-Z at the White House.
Well, it's very unfortunate that the President of the United States is not using the bully pulpit that God has granted him to impact the African-American community
right.
in a greater sense. And send me an email. I don't care. I stand behind that statement. That's not a flippant statement. I stand
right.
behind that statement. For such a time as this, use the bully pulpit that God has granted you to speak to 73% of all births in the African-American community come from unwed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they under his administration, and black poverty and black unemployment have increased. And remember, the first 2 years he was president, he had a blank check. Congress and Senate, House of Representatives and Senate.
But he's going on a sixth year.
Mm-hmm.
He's going on a sixth
yeah.
year. And these deacons are speaking to this.
Yeah.
And they're saying, we don't want our preacher anywhere near that stuff. and we gave you a warning 9 months ago. We assumed that you were young and dumb, and we were willing to give you a pass.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you could, you might be able to level some criticism at the 11 o'clock meeting, and the, you know, he shows up Sunday morning and his parking space is gone, his name plate's off the door and all that. You know, maybe there would have been a better way to handle it like that. But I dare say the way they handled it, this was not the first or even the second transgression that this pastor had.
Yeah, for them to do that, for them to get out of
this was the straw that broke
their bed at 9 o'clock at night and leave their wives and their families and go to church and have this meeting, you know, it definitely, they were upset. And
well, I don't know where the concert was. The concert may have been Saturday night.
Yeah, it may have been.
Yeah. And obviously they knew he was there somehow.
They heard he was there.
And they were going to just take action.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the comments I saw was, well, who saw him there? Did a church member see him there? You know what? It doesn't really matter if a church member saw him there. The fact is, the church member has a different level of accountability than the pastor does, and the pastor has to be held to a higher standard.
Yeah, I mean, right? It goes back to 1 Timothy 3. The pastor is supposed to be blameless. Nothing is supposed to be able to stick to the pastor of the church or the pastors of the church. So, a church member, if they go to a rap concert, that's another issue. They're not the one that's getting up on Sunday morning teaching and preaching to the congregation and leading the congregation and trying to hold the congregation accountable to the Word of God.
Yeah, we're not saying it's okay that the church member goes, but there's a different, like I said, there's a different level of accountability there.
Yeah, maybe the preacher should have been outside the concert preaching.
Maybe that's a different thing, yeah.
Maybe we talked about the venue the other day. We did the EMB one, David. Maybe this is the place where the African-American preacher is outside this thing and he's encouraging an alternative.
Yeah, well, I know I've seen that plenty of times at sporting events and things like that, where people are handing out tracts and doing things like that, and it's not so much a captive audience. That's a totally different situation. You can grab or you can keep.
I don't know why these guys aren't embracing guys like Lecrae and Tripoli. I mean, I know they're conservative Christian lyrics and they're Reformed and that kind of thing, but I mean, these would be great for these churches to grab a hold of these guys and say, here's good, you like rap music? Here's good music that you can listen to. We don't agree with all the theology per se, but there's good music that you can listen to. And whether we agree with Christian rap or not, it's at least better than what they would be listening to.
Yeah, well, David, I dare say that most of those guys wouldn't understand the lyrics and Lecrae.
And they might not, yeah.
I mean, the depth of his lyrics are unbelievable.
Yeah, it's theology.
But sometimes they're very... very straight to the point. I mean, that thing about the rap song "Don't Waste Your Life" that he does. I mean, that's very straight to the point. Don't waste your life. I mean, that's the kind of message that those guys. And you hear, you talk about the rap song. They talk about their conversion where they were seeking weed and women, and they were following that lifestyle. And they heard the gospel, they repented, and now they're following Christ. And so, I mean, there are some deep theological things in their song, but there's also some very straightforward, preachy rap song. Rap lyrics, I guess, are not songs.
Well, we sure hope that if anything has come out of this podcast, it's that if you have in any way, shape, or form a compromising perspective on guys like Rick Ross and Lil Wayne and what's the other one?
Jay-Z.
We pray that the Holy Spirit would convict your soul right now to just pull out those digital devices that you have and get that garbage out of your life. We used to say break that CD, or we had record concerts and throw it. But whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. I remember 1987, I came to Fort Bragg as a private, and I was already saved, but I had allowed myself to be influenced by secular music. And of course, it was more of the romantic kind of, that genre of it, you know, pop, I think. But there was a message given here at the Brigham Baptist Church in 1987. I took all that music. I went to the pawn shop, got 20 bucks or whatever I could for it, donated that 20 bucks to the cause of Christ, and haven't listened to it since. I just don't know. I don't want to make too broad of a brush, but I know that most of the time we need to be filling our mind with Christ-honoring, gospel-centered, God-glorifying music.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know that there would be any productivity in listening to most secular music today.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree.
It's going to be hard to do Romans 12, 1 and 2 if all you're ever listening to is secular music. You're going to have a hard time transforming your mind if you're just listening to secular music.
Well, those are our thoughts. What are yours? Send us good emails, filled with scripture and a perspective that is thorough and researched. Don't allow yourself to be influenced like the comments on this sector where you just kind of speak what's on your mind. That's what's happening all the time. We have our opinion, and we really don't care what the Word of God says.
Yeah, yeah. I think what I called on another podcast, it's just a perversion of the grace that God's offered us. You know, to say, you know, I'm saved, and I should be able to do whatever I want. I have freedom in Christ. That's just not the faith that Jesus preaches.
I wonder how you reconcile that with Peter saying, be holy as God's holy.
Yeah, be perfect, yeah, as Paul says, you know.
Right.
In all manner of conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All your whole life. Yeah.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Right. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.